Thank you, Jesus. I have a question for you. And God asked me to ask of you. Who are you listening to? And what are you listening to? Serious question. When I went into my study this morning just to pray and go over my notes for today, after a while, just sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, listen to me. We listen to God. We're not always listening to God. There's a lot of voices. Would you agree? They're increasing every day. In addition, we have our own voice. And we listen to that one. And as I was worshiping this morning, I found that some of the things I was saying to myself, I had to reject. It's very important to discern the voice of God and to hear the voice of God. Are you hearing the voice of God? Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Verse 17, I'm going to read it the way it was spoken in the Greek, and I'm going to leave out a word for emphasis. So then, faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The translators, thinking they were going to make it easy for us, put the word come and cometh or comes by hearing. But the word by, faith by hearing, by, is a word of origin, source, origination, which means that without hearing God or hearing his word, faith does not happen. Faith by hearing, faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to say something that will challenge your thinking, but it is very important for you to get a hold of this. When you read the Word of God, you must hear it. The same way as if Jesus was speaking to you, because the Word of God is Jesus speaking to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear ye him. We must hear God in this season and throughout our lives. We must hear God for your faith to become alive. Can you imagine for a minute now? Perhaps I've shared this with you before, but I think it's worth going over. Can you imagine for a minute Noah hearing God? He did not have a Bible. For 120 years he heard God. Build the ark this way. Do it this way. Do it this way. Keep building it. Don't listen to those people who are mocking you. Without hearing God, he never would have completed that project. How about Abraham? Abraham was living in a place called Ur. Ur of the Chaldees, it was a source and an area of the worship of the moon. And the city was called the Moon City. They were idol worshippers. And in the midst of that, God spoke to him. Actually spoke to his father first. And then spoke to Abraham. And said, get out of there, come to me, and I'm going to show you. He showed him four things in Genesis 12. That he would make him a blessing. He'd show him a land. That all the people in the face of the earth, all the family groups would be blessed through them. He heard all that. To some people, he would appear as a madman, listening to voices. But if you don't listen to God, you're going to listen to somebody else. You're going to listen to the devil. He's speaking all the time. His business is to counter the productive word of God by giving you the deceitful word of Satan. His job is to undermine your faith, your trust, your confidence, your holiness, your future, your destiny, your everything. He takes it away by stealing your mind with his words. Right now he's doing it. He's done it yesterday. He did it this morning. It happened to some of you while you were singing. It will happen when you leave here, because that's his business. At the same time, it's God's business to speak. Hear ye him. Your faith is activated. Its origin comes. Its life, its power comes by hearing God. God promised Abraham he would be wealthy. You must understand things in right context. Let's go to Genesis 12. We'll take a look at this. Because there's an underlying message I want to get across, as well as the primary message of listening to God. In Genesis 12, the Lord said, he spoke to Abraham. Abraham had to hear him. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And after several years, in verse 2, it says, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So God fulfilled his word. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Abraham do anything to get wealthy? Did he do anything to get wealthy? He just heard God. We like to say believe, but believe comes after hearing. Hearing causes belief to come. Belief is the word faith. When you see the word believe in the Bible, it's pistis. It's the same word for faith. Where does faith come from? I know you want to say his word all the time, but you can read his word and not hear him. Come on. I'm speaking to you. Can you hear that? How many times have you read the word and it was meaningless to you? You went over it and over it and over it and over it, and you quoted it and quoted it and quoted it. But maybe you never heard it. Hearing is something that changes your condition. When you get, because you are under the hearing, the power of hearing puts you under the authority of the person who spoke the word. It causes obedience, submission, honor to proceed when you have heard the word of God. That's how your faith comes. Don't struggle with what I'm saying right now. Some of you are getting ahead of me. Don't go ahead of me. I'm going to make this thing simple for you, because God wants it to be simple for you. Hearing God is everything to you. We were out with some people last night. They're non-believers. They wanted to have dinner with us. They're drawn to us. So we agreed to go with them. We don't particularly like to go out on Saturday nights, but we went. Why? Because God spoke to us to go with them. And they're non-believers. And we talked and we had a good time and we laughed about similar things. And I didn't mention one thing about God, because God didn't want me to mention one thing about God. But they brought up God. So when they brought up God, we talked to them. And they listened. And something happened to them. And we're not going to work them over. We're going to let the word go deep into them. And we didn't preach a gospel to them. We just said some things that have happened to us in our lives, in our walk with God. If you don't listen to God, you might say something you think you should say. Right? You start thinking, well, what should I say? I give them the four spiritual laws, tell them they're sinners, tell them they need to go to heaven. Ask them a question, what's your plan to get to heaven? What do you think of Jesus? No. What you have to do is listen to God, because he knows what's going on in them. And they're curious. So we had a wonderful time talking to them. There are two organs in our lives, on our bodies, that are of utmost importance to our well-being. The one is our ears, and the other is our ability of speech, to speak. Because what we hear with our ears transforms our lives and enables us to speak out. That's why the quote formula in Romans is simple. If you'll believe, first of all, believe what you have heard, then you can speak what you have believed. And you have salvation. Meaning, not just the initial rebirth, but you have salvation working for you throughout your life. You have what you say. But it really matters who you're hearing so that you can say what you're hearing from the right source. The enemy, while I'm worshiping God, wanted to speak to me this morning. Did he want to speak to you this morning while you were worshiping? Did he want to tell you about the things you're going through, the trials? Did he want to tell you how negative things are going to be? Did he take your mind off of God and start to denounce him to you? And not by saying, oh, God isn't going to, but by telling you this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to turn out, it's not going to be the way you think. Did God really say that to you? He's going to question God. Did that happen to you this morning while you were worshiping? Come on. I'd like to know, really, how many people had an interruption from the enemy while you were singing to God. Are you bold enough to lift up your hand and tell the truth? Because he is that kind of an enemy. In the midst of us praising God, he will interfere. The other person that speaks to us with negative thoughts, believe it or not, is ourselves. And perhaps after the enemy has worked us over a little bit, he doesn't need to say much to us anymore. He'll let us do the work by ourselves. And we'll start speaking to ourselves inwardly, and we will hear what we think. Isn't that true? We'll hear it, and we'll begin to counter our faith with unbelief and paint a new direction for our lives just by listening to the wrong voice, even your voice. And that voice, when it is not under the control of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, will say all manner of things about you, all manner of things about your brothers and your sisters, things about this church, things about the future, things about everybody. And sow discord into your heart. And so after a while, since you've been hearing this for a long time, you think it's the truth. And you haven't discerned the difference between God's voice and your voice. And you begin to credit God with the wrong that you're thinking. And go off in a tangent. Two greatest things that we have going for us are our ability to hear God. Last night, I was praying, asking God to help those people hear. Not so much from us, but from God. You see, while you're talking, there are two other people involved in the conversation. One is God, and the other is the enemy working on those people. And I said, God, speak to them so they can hear you, not just us. Do you ever wonder why Jesus had so many encounters with people who were deaf and dumb? They couldn't hear and they couldn't speak. And at times he had to cast demons out that were controlling their ability to hear and their ability to speak, because the only person that those people could hear was their own mind. They had no input coming in from God. And when he got rid of that demon, they could not just hear people, but they could hear God. And that's the way the world is, and oftentimes that's the way we've been. The enemy does not want you to hear God, nor does he want you to speak about the truth. I'm going to give you some testimony, and then we're going to have a time of ministry. Oh, there's a scripture in Proverbs 10, verse 22. which says this: the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Is that true with Abraham? Did God bless Abraham? How did he bless him? I want you to hear something. How did he bless him? He spoke to him. He said things to him. The things he said came to pass because God's word is forever settled in the heavens. It cannot be denied. Although some people think it can. God's word is stronger than the words of the enemy if we'll listen to it. And so God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham became wealthy. It didn't mean he sat underneath a tree and let all of a sudden cattle appear. It meant he went about his regular business. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Now, rich here, for the American consumer mind, which exists in the church today, means things. Oh, I want things. Well, here's how things happen. The first half of your life, you want things. The second half of your life, you want to get rid of those things. So things are not what are going to make you happy. There's a better definition of richness. It is prosperity of spirit, soul, and body. It is having all sufficiency in all things that you may be able to bless others beyond yourself. That's what rich is. And so that's what we're talking about here. And the second part of this verse, and adds no sorrow with it, is this. If you want to be an accumulator, you will work your brains out. You will work your body out. You will struggle, and you will have pain, and you will have disappointment and agony, and you will do it by yourself, because once you take over God's work, he lets you. Right? Once you take over his work, he lets you. And there's a lot of sorrow with trying to produce for yourself what God would freely give you. Now let's go to another scripture in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And he says to the disciples and all who could hear, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. You cannot serve God and mammon. The pagans, the unbelievers, they seek riches. Here's what I want you to do. And then he says this. He says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then there's the word and. All the things that you need will be added to you. The legal mind that exists in some Christians read it this way. If I'm a good person and I work hard at being a good person and I'm good to other people and I obey all the laws, then God will bless me. No. No. Can I have an amen to that? No. No, no, because that is works. And I want to prove it to you. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every time you see the juxtaposition of God's commands and God's blessings, I want you to make sure you understand the distinction and the way one relates to the other, so that you never get confused thinking that your goodness is going to make God bless you. Abraham's goodness did not make God bless him. My goodness surely didn't get me saved. All right? So, in Deuteronomy 8, you could read all of that, all of the verses from 1 to 18. He says in verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Who are their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were all extremely wealthy. God gives you the power to obtain all the wealth that you need to live a prosperous life by proving that's his covenant to you. And so that you and I never think that we did it by ourselves. Are you with us here? This is so important for you. You need to hear God. Years ago, let me add to you Well, then why should we be righteous if God is going to bless us anyway? It's a good question, isn't it? Why should we live a righteous life? What?
Because it honors God.
That's a very good reason. Jesus said this, if you love me, what? You'll obey me. You'll keep my commands. So righteousness is a response of love. That's why we act out righteously. It shows us how much we love God because we behave in an accordance that will make him happy with our behavior and honor him. It's almost thanksgiving to God. Years ago, I don't know if I've told this, I may have. It's been a long time. This church has its origins back in 1979. Andre and I had been pastoring this church for a couple of years. I owned an insurance business, a very prosperous insurance business. That's how we have the house that we have today. And God was blessing us, not because of my infinite capabilities, but in spite of them, because I trusted him. And even trust is not a word of arrogance. It's a word of submission that says, I can't do this without you. And we had been pastoring and working full-time, supporting ourselves for a couple of years, and we knew that the day would come that we could no longer continue to do that, that serving, kind of like serving two masters, was not going to work out. And we had prepared ourselves pretty much for that, whatever day it would be. We didn't know. And it was in an August morning, and I woke up. I had worked late the night before, as I did every night. I worked every night of the week. I was out till 10 o'clock putting in my due diligence. And I woke up. It was about 8 o'clock. I remember that. 8, number for new beginnings. And I put my feet on the side of the bed, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, today's the day you give up the business. I was talking to, it was a good conversation. And he said, today's the day you give up the business, just like that. So I went to Andre and I began to share what happened. I said, honey, the Lord spoke to me. He said, today's the day we give up the business. So we decided to stay together and pray and talk about that. And we made some decisions. We said, God, whatever you want, we'll do. You know, if you want us to sell the house, the cars, whatever, we'll do whatever. And listen to me. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, what? I want to prove to you and to all those who know what you're doing that I take care of my servants. We didn't know how he was going to do that. Forgive me if I tell you that our income was greater than the whole income of the church at that time. So everything looked impossible. And we were going to give that up. So I stayed home. I told my secretary I wouldn't be in. And I just wanted to stay before God. At 12 o'clock precisely, the phone rang, and the company that I represented was on the other end, and the senior vice president of the agencies said to me, I have some bad news for you. I said, what is it? He said, well, we find that you're in violation of your contract. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's come to our attention that, well, we have known this for some time, that you are pastoring a church and working full-time for us. You're an independent contractor, but you have stated in the contract that you would not have any other outside interests. You would work exclusively for us. Then we're now getting complaints across the nation from other people that are under contract with us that they say, if you, meaning me, can pastor a church, then they say they have a right to have a real estate agency or a travel agency. And so we're running into this conflict, and we can't let that go on. We have to set a standard here. And truthfully, you're in violation, so we need to give you an option whether you keep your business or not, but you can't stay with us if you keep pastoring. I said, well, the decision's made. I heard God. And not only did we hear God, but we knew that God said that he would take care of us. That's where our faith was. And it's a word that's connected to the overall word of God. See what God does. Is he's very much the author of all this. Holy men spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So he uses their mouths as if it was his mouth. He used their pens as if it was his pen writing. So it's him speaking. Any way you want to cut it. And when he speaks, we hear. It's so important that we not just read the word of God as a religious duty to get a good word, but to hear God. Speak to me, Lord, for your servant hears. And to listen to him. Well, shortly after we were now, they asked me, they said, well, how long do you need to completely turn over the business? I said, well, it was August. I said, can you give us to the end of the year? He said, sure. So I thought that would be great. Two amazing things happened. The first is my income dried up. It's like somebody went into the home office of the company and shut down all of our commissions, just turned them right off. And whereas they had been sufficient, now I went to the post office to look for the commission checks that came every 2 weeks. And I pulled the envelope out, opened it up, and I absolutely stunned. It was so small, the check. It wasn't enough to pay for the rent on my office, my secretary, or the mortgage on the house, or anything. It was not enough. And the Lord said to me, I want you to say, it's enough. So Andrea called, as she always did on that Friday when I got the checks. And she said to me, how is it? And I said, it's enough. And you know what we did? We wrote a tithe on that amount. And we had to go through this process for a period of time, several months. And I thought to myself, just like you, did I miss it? Did I not hear God? I'm giving up this lucrative business. We were all set to buy a cottage on the shore and, you know, thinking about other things. And all of a sudden, we gave all that business up. And, you know, and I said, no. I heard God. So, in spite of the commission check not being enough, then I would start to find in the mail checks that came in from people who owed me money that I'd given money to. And then the home office of the company I represented found out that they made some errors in the commissions and sent me money. And it started to happen like that through this whole period of time that as we trusted God, God came through because we listened to him and obeyed what he had said to us. We had miracles happen in our house when we did not have enough food. And God tested us. Now, here's what Jesus says about this. When the word of God is sown in our hearts, the enemy comes immediately to take it out of us. And God allowed for things to happen to challenge the faith to see how deep our root was. How deep is your root? I'll tell you what. It's as deep as your ears to hear him. It's as deep as you will hear and stay steadfast to what God has said to you. That's how deep it'll be. Well, at the end of those 4 months, we were in a much better place. We gave up the business, and the rest is history. And God has been faithful. Now, I tell you this so that you know that your God is going to be faithful, but you must listen to him. You must listen to him because there's too many voices all the time. All the time. Isaiah 50. Here's something we're going to pray for you this morning. Isaiah 50, we're going to look at two verses 4 and 5. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor did I turn away. See, when you can't hear, you'll tend to be disobedient because you haven't heard him. How many children disobey because they don't listen to their fathers and mothers? Listen to me, we say to them. And God is saying the same thing. Listen to me. I want to awaken your ears morning by morning. So right now we're going to pray. First thing we're going to do is we're going to renounce listening to the wrong voices. Is that a good place to start? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are challenged every day in our walk with you. And you know that. And we have been at times subject to confusing the voices that we hear. We've heard the voice that sounds like you. We've heard our own voice that sounds like you. We've heard voices from friends. Sometimes they sound like you. We've heard voices from enemies that have left us confused. And the voice of Satan himself has spoken to us. And God, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you forgive us for listening to the wrong things. Things about you. Things that are said to us about ourselves. And things that are said to us about others that are not of you. And in Jesus' name we renounce that. And we ask you to forgive us now and cleanse us of all that unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. Because here's what happens. I'm going to say this before we let the Holy Spirit release you some more. When you hear the wrong thing, you believe it, just as if you had heard God. If you hear the wrong thing about yourself, you begin to believe it. If you hear the wrong thing about somebody, a friend, a relative, somebody in the church, if you hear it often enough, what happens? You believe it. What happens? You make decisions on the wrong word. You think it's God. You're confused, but you believed it, and you acted on it, and you've been deceived. So you've taken a course that God didn't want. So in Jesus' name, we renounce all these words. We cleanse our minds and our hearts in Jesus' holy name by the blood of the Lamb to be absolutely free from this day forward of every negative, angry, mean, unforgiving, critical, judgmental, unbelieving word that we've heard, whether it's about you, O Father, whether it's about ourselves, or whether it's about others. And we command those words to leave our being, get out of our minds and our thoughts, and to cleanse us because they are unrighteous. In Jesus' name we ask that now. Amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you that you will awaken us morning by morning and give us an ear to hear. You will open and awaken our ears to you, because we know that early in the morning is when either we speak to ourselves or the enemy speaks to us and sets the course of our day. That's why it's important to hear you early in the morning, day by day. We give you praise for that, God, and we, as your children, love you, Father. We obey you because we love you. We want to please you. And we, from this day forward, will listen. As you said to me this morning, listen to me. Listening to you is a privilege, an honor, a blessing in itself. From this day forward, help us, God. Holy Ghost, we appeal to you for your strength in us to keep us on this course. To listen to you. Amen. God, just keep us all humble. We are living in a time of arrogance like no other time I've known, where self-promotion self-aggrandizement, selfishness, self-conceit, and self-deceit are so prominent. Everybody struggling for a place of eminence and puffing themselves up. Oh God, you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Help us, please God, Spirit of grace, help us stay humble before you and listen to you. Because the proud do not hear. They cannot hear because you will not speak to them. He resists the proud. God, forgive us for all of our pride. Ooh. Oh God, please, Lord. Please, God. We want to hear you. We want to stay humble before you. Sweet Jesus, please, God. Please, Lord. We mean this with all that's in us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, and thank you.